Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. And as we start every week, we have a Mama Says section from our Pastor Carolyn D. Porter, my mother, who will give us words of wisdom and give us our thought. And then after she's done, we will continue with our guest, Tamara Dix, who started last week with 13 lessons from 13 reasons. And so, Mom,
Amber, God bless you, and greetings to your special guest, Sister Dix over there. Listen, the scripture that's resting in my spirit today comes out of Matthew chapter 22 and the 14th verse, where it talks about many are called, but few are chosen. And as I pondered that today, I just considered how the Lord has made choice of many of us. The call goes out to come unto me and receive rest, be blessed, and move out and expand yourselves in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of our Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. But many people don't hear the call. They don't respond to the call. And I know that the Holy Spirit directs us through our conscious mind as well as through revelation. I know the scripture also speaks that except the Father draws us, there will be those that will not come. But when he calls out the word, come unto me, call is for whosoever will, let him come. Well, in this scripture, there's a call that's extended, an invitation that's extended by a king. It's a parable to come to a wedding. And there are those who don't come, those that don't respond. And the king gives the order, go out and just get everybody, get anybody that will come. And so the guests started coming, whether they were on the invitational list or not, whether they heard the call, everyone that thirst comes, whether they heard the bells ringing, however they heard the call to this wedding. Now, I'm talking about the parable. They came running. And what happened was one man showed up and he wasn't adequately dressed. And the thought behind that is this. Those who try to come, however they receive the invitation, without proper covering of the blood of Jesus Christ for their sins, are inadequately clothed and will be sent into outer darkness, into hell. What we're saying here, when Jesus gives the invitation to come, he purges us, he cleanses us, he forgives us, he washes us through the blood of the Lamb. He makes special choice of us, hallelujah, so that we may enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only the few who respond truly hear the call of Jesus, receive the invitation, and are blessed. Not only in our natural lives are we blessed, but also in the spirit realm. We become part of the kingdom of God. Well, I've just about finished my thought today. I just want everyone to hear the word of the Lord. Be cognizant of the fact that many are called, few are chosen, but we who are chosen by God He promised to pour out his Spirit on us and bless us immeasurably and prepare us and escort us into the kingdom of God, into the realm of the Spirit, where great miracles and marvelous blessings are received. I'm finished, Am. Mama said, many are called, few are chosen. You run to Jesus now, sign up, and be blessed of the Lord. God bless you, Amber.
Thank you. Until next week, we'll see you. Tamara Dix.
Hello.
How are you?
I am well today, ma'am, and how are you?
I'm just fine, a little tired, but I'm fine. I'm alive. And
last week you started off with 13 lessons from the 13 Reasons. It's a Netflix series. And
yes.
So I've given you enough because I knew bullying and all those things, it's just so prevalent in our society today. So I just wanted you to really go through all of your 13 lessons. And so because you have so many more to go, we're just going to dive right in. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great. Thank you for having me back. And thank you for having me back. This story, this book by Jay Asher was turned into a series by Netflix, and it's really important to this generation of teenagers because it's everybody's story in a way. You can watch the series and find yourself somewhere in there, either the person who's being bullied, the person who's being lied on, or the popular athlete, or the pretty girl who gets all the attention but is still really lonely. There's so many areas and so many places where you can find yourself in this story at that age. And I think this book is this book and this series is critical because it reminds us that our students and our children don't think and process the same way we do. So we have to be really present in their lives and present with what's going on. One quote that I absolutely live by when it comes to our students is, it's a Frederick Douglass quote, and he says, it's easier to equip a child than it is to repair a broken adult. And I believe that. I firmly believe that. So having said that, I'm going to jump right in and pick up where we left off.
Okay.
We're going to start with number six.
Sixth
lesson from the sixth lesson from 13 lessons from 13 Reasons Why. Number six, every kiss means something. Every kiss means something. No matter how old you are or how young you are, every kiss means something. I arrived at this point because there's a scene where the main character, Hannah Baker, she's the young lady who commits suicide. She is with a girl that she considers to be her friend, and they begin to experiment. And she's a little afraid, she's a little hesitant, and the girl says to her, "It's just a kiss. It doesn't mean anything." And we know that that is not true. Every kiss means something, especially every first kiss. And I say that because in your initial kiss lays all the strength, all the power of your final surrender. That is why kissing is so impactful. Think about it. Think about that first kiss. There was something to that. And it's because everything that is meant to be given up in a covenant moment of surrender lies in that kiss. So that's where soul ties begin, or one of the ways that soul ties can begin. So every kiss means something. It's never just a kiss. And furthermore, God designed kissing to take you to a place. It's supposed to be impactful.
Wow.
So, you know, and people think that, you know, they think that it's okay to just go around. You know, you're casually dating and they think it's okay to kiss this person or make out with this person. But the truth is you're forming connections on the soulish level. And some of them are going to be very difficult to get out of, especially when they are entered into outside of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So every kiss means something. Number
Can I just
seven.
Ask you a question before you go on to number seven? You said that a kiss something about the surrender.
In your initial kiss lays all the strength, all the power of your final surrender.
What does that mean exactly?
It means think back to that good first kiss you had from whoever. And think about that. And if we're to be honest, that kiss will tingle from your lips all the way down to your toes in some cases. So let's, you know, it's never just a kiss. It's more than that. There are spiritual implications, there are physical implications, and there are social implications that come from kissing. And so we have to be mindful of things like that, and not just it cannot become common to just run around kissing folk. Like I said, there are soul ties formed that way. And mm-hmm. you know, to have to break an ungodly soul tie is not something that everyone is equipped to do.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to do your best to stay out of that situation.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Got you.
Okay. Let's see. I have a parent texting me while I'm doing this interview. I'm also the young adult and youth pastor at my church, so I'm often in contact with parents even in the middle of doing other things.
Okay.
Number seven. Other people are not responsible for your happiness.
Okay.
Other people are not responsible for your happiness. Now, I do believe that other people can contribute to it, but it is mm-hmm. not their job to make you happy. It's just like this. If someone makes you happy or gives you your happiness, then they can also take it away.
Exactly.
Now, I do believe that if you have, let's say you're dating someone who is insecure, sometimes they get really nervous. They get really nervous when you are talking to a male friend. And see, the thing is, it's not your job to make them secure, but it is your job not to irritate those insecurities.
Right.
You know, you don't want to flaunt things in front of their face that you know are going to make them feel insecure. Fixing that is God's job.
Okay.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Anything that is off balance or not quite sitting right with us or keeping us from functioning in healthy relationships, it's not your partner's job to fix that. That's God's job.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Okay. Great. All right, number eight, here we go. What people think of you is less than or less important than what you think of you.
Okay, a lot
what
of people need
think
to hear
of
that.
You, say that again.
A lot of people need to hear that.
That's right. You know, one of the best things that happened to me in life was to get delivered from the opinions of people.
Mm-hmm.
When I began to think less or give less weight to what people thought of me and set my energy and set my focus on what I thought of me and even more than that, what God thought of me, my whole life changed.
Mm.
You know, things that used to bother me, things that made me feel insecure, things that would cause me problems or make me stumble, it all faded away. When I mm-hmm. understood that the value that I gave myself was heavier than anything, any label, any opinion, any thought that any other person has toward me. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know, God knows what we are. He knows what he made us to do. And he made every single one of us great. We are all in his image and in his likeness. And he made us wonderful. He made us magnificent. And he made us all with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But if I attach your thoughts to my purpose, I'll never get there.
That's true. That's good.
Amen. So, number nine, we're rolling today. Number nine. Parents want to help even when they don't have an answer.
Okay.
Our parents want to help even when they don't have an answer. I am grown and on my own for we won't say how many years now, but... even as a seasoned adult, my mom still will come to my rescue at the drop of a hat.
Okay.
You know, there's even if she doesn't know what to do, what to fix, or what's wrong, she is there with a hand, with her heart, with her ear, whatever is needed. And see, a lot of times students don't realize that their parents want to help. You know, and I think there's so much breakdown, or so often there's a breakdown in communication between parent and child. And, you know, the child gets frustrated, and rather than talk to their parent because they feel like they're just going to get fussed at or they're not going to really be heard, they'll go and talk to a friend who will allow them to have a pity party, or who will even listen. And so, you know, there's a breakdown there. And we have to really get in a place where our children know that we want to listen and we want to help. And sometimes part of that is, and I know you don't ever stop being a parent, but sometimes we just have to stop being mama and stop being daddy and just listen. You know, we can't react. We just have to listen sometimes. And that will go a long way in improving our communication. And I tell this to parents all the time. A child who feels like they are heard will tell you anything.
They absolutely will. There's a difference in anything and everything.
They will tell you everything. Yes, and even some things you don't think you want to hear, but they will tell you when they feel like they are really being heard.
Okay.
All right. Number 10, you can get too lonely. You know, I have recently discovered that I am not an extrovert. For years, I have thought I was an extrovert because I love being the life of the party. I love going. I love doing. I love being in the crowd. I love hanging out. But what I've discovered is that I am actually an extrovert with introvert tendencies. I'm an introvert with extrovert tendencies. Meaning, I love the crowd, but to be honest, I'd rather be at home. And if there's a chance to cancel, I'll probably take that and just be at home. You know, if given the choice between, you know, going to a big event or going to a cafe with one other person, I'll choose the cafe. But the thing is, you know, sometimes we can isolate too much.
Okay.
And, you know, anything that's out of balance gives the devil place to come in and mess with you. And, and I use this acronym. Yes, go ahead.
No, I said okay. I was listening. Following
okay.
you.
Okay. I use this acronym HALT, H-A-L-T, HALT. And it says don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If you ever get too hungry, you already know how that's going down. Get too angry, you still know how that's going down. You get too lonely, you know, you get too angry, you could end up in the newspaper. But you get too lonely, there are so many bad decisions that can be made. There are so many bad decisions that we can arrive at when we get too lonely. And it becomes easy to start out just taking some time for yourself, and then you look up and it's been days since you've really actively engaged people. And when we do that, we put ourselves in position to be attacked by the enemy. We put ourselves in position to have the wrong type of people come in and influence us or influence our decisions. It's just like, you know, when you're watching National Geographic and you see that one little antelope get left behind, and you already know that's the one that's going to get devoured.
Right.
You know, and that's just how the devil works. He waits for us to get to a place where we are too lonely to defend ourselves, and we begin to listen to the lies that he tells. And before we know it, something has happened that we just never saw coming. So you have to practice integrating yourself into life. You have to work at being active and work at being at a place where you can interact with people and stay connected. Social media is not enough of a connection. You know, you need to look people in the eye or let people look you in the eye and be sure that nothing's wrong. you know, that make sure that you have some people that you can connect with at any time who will tell you the real deal about your situation, and people who have the strength to pray you through something. So, again, don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And that's number 10. You can get too lonely. 11.
Wow.
I know. We're rolling today, girl. Number 11, don't judge people. Things are not always what they seem. You know, one of the characters in this series, he's a young man. He's an athlete, quite popular, you know, well on his way to a football or basketball scholarship and well-liked and, you know, has a nice girlfriend and all of these things. But at home, his life is a mess. His mother is an addict who has boyfriend after boyfriend that abuse him and her. They're selling drugs out of his home. He's not safe from day to day. He doesn't know what he has going. You know, he doesn't know whether he's going to eat from one day to the next. So people look at him and they see this athlete. They see this popular guy, but inside he is a mess. You know, and he makes some really bad decisions that are really shocking to people, but the truth is he didn't have any good examples at home.
Right.
And so, you know, I think sometimes we look at people and we look at the things that they do, and we just, you know, to us it's unfathomable how people can make some of the decisions they make, but truly we don't know what their jump-off point is.
That's true.
We don't know what life is telling them on a daily basis. So we can't judge them. You know, I had a situation recently where there was someone that, how do I say this, was trying to handle me a little rough. Yeah, she was trying to, you know, handle me in the wrong way. And, you know, I'm praying about this thing. I'm trying to be the mature, loving believer about this thing. And, you know, God really placed it on my heart that I have to look at her situation. And I can't look at how she should treat me based on what I think she should do, but I need to look at where she's coming from, too, and still work to address the behavior, but rather than just, you know, dismissing this person, I've got to reach back in love and help bring her along and bring God into it to help adjust her perspective.
That's good. That's interesting. I was going to ask you about that, but I knew we had two more to get to, so we'll swing back to that if we have time.
Good, good.
I want you to finish all 13.
All right. Okay, so we're at number 12. I get my presentation to cooperate with me. All right, number 12, there's always a way out.
Okay.
There's always a way out. You know, there is not one thing that can happen that you can't live down. Not one. I heard somebody say just yesterday that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And, you know, people end up at that place when they have lost hope. And, you know, there's usually somebody there who, you know, somebody who's, no matter how hopeless you feel, there's somebody who's going to be left behind that's just going to feel like, I can't believe they wouldn't talk to me or they wouldn't let me know or that I didn't see this. You know, when you are suffering from depression or when you're having these anxiety issues and so on, it's difficult, or it can be difficult to believe that there's anybody in your corner, but that goes back to not allowing yourself to become too lonely as well. But there's always someone, because God is that good. He would not allow any of us to stay here and just suffer without an answer.
Right.
You know, there's always a way out. There is not one thing that you can, that we cannot live down.
That's
true. Number 13. Number
but before 13. You go to the final one, say that again. Suicide is a permanent solution.
Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
That's good. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. 13. there are painful things in life that you have to grow through. Excuse me, there are painful things that you have to grow through in life in order to go through life.
Okay.
There's so much that happens to us on a daily basis that it really just seems unfair. You know, I really was just thinking yesterday, nobody told me that life happens this fast. You know, when you're a teenager, you can't wait to grow up. You can't wait to move out. Can't wait to get your own place, get your own cars. And then 30 days later when those bills start coming in, it's like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, life, you know, mom's house doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
Once all those little envelopes start coming every month, mama's rules don't seem so bad. But,
exactly.
And then you get out on your own and life is happening, but then other stuff starts to happen, relationships,
right.
Losses,
mm-hmm.
jobs, pain, sorrow, happiness, and then more relationship drama, and things just keep coming around and around, and sometimes you just get a bad bounce, you know? And
right.
as much as all of it sometimes really just seems like, why? The truth of the matter is it's necessary to make you. It's necessary
okay.
to make you this full, healthy, well-adjusted person who is not just in this earth existing but here to fix a problem. I am a firm believer that the Lord sends us all here to fix a problem. And much of what we go through and what we grow through is what helps us. That is what helps us to figure things out and to just know that we can do it. And not only can we do it, but we have the strength and the ability to help someone else do it. And that's number 13, but guess what?
What?
There's a bonus lesson.
Uh-oh, what is
one more thing.
Bonus.
One more thing. The bonus lesson. The need to be accepted can wreck your life.
Oh, that's
people,
true.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. The need to be accepted can wreck your life. Being who
mm-hmm.
you are can save your life.
Wow.
You know, there's someone that is struggling in their own skin that needs to see you thriving at just being you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to know anything about, you know, your drama. They don't need to know anything about the headaches or the bills or any of that. They just need to see a well-adjusted person handling life, walking out, and that no matter what hits them, they're able to go on, and they're happy being who they are. They don't have to put on anybody's eyelashes. They don't have to buy the latest. You know, they're just happy who they are.
Mm.
And if you can just be you and if I can just be me, then how many more people will have the courage to just go ahead and be who they are rather than conforming to what they see in a video?
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll close with this scripture that I often share with the students. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. Set an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith. Just be you, and it'll bless lives all over the world.
Well, I am so appreciative. I'm glad we made it through all 13. I'm so appreciative you decided to do this, and your lessons are really, really valuable. And I don't know whether you're putting these in book form or when we can get them in book form, but it's certainly something that a lot of our youth need to hear. Before we go, real quickly, where we can contact you, how we can find you on Facebook or email.
Yes, yes. The ministry that I founded, Joint Heirs, H-E-I-R-S International,
mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook, of course. My personal email, I'll give that to you. That's tnicole9. TNICOLLE and the number 9 at Gmail. So you can reach out to me there, and of course you have all of my contact information. And I'm just so glad that you gave me this opportunity, and I will look at. I didn't even think about how to push this further, but I will look at how to present this information further. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Tamara Dixon. Until next week. Find your moment. Good night, everyone.
Bye.